microphone was live during our introduction.
Yeah.
And I was talking to you. I thought, that's really unprofessional. That's awful.
We talk a lot.
But welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's going to be an interesting show today. Friday's show, I listened to it last night. And I tell you what, I was laughing pretty hard when we started talking about dating, but we'll try to avoid that today. And it was all true, though. But it wasn't as funny as Friday a week ago show. That was a hilarious show. That was like a Ted and Austin Brower comedy hour.
We've had some good shows. So welcome back to the worldwide broadcast of Ted and Austin Brower Show.
I already said that.
Bringing you the latest world news and health research. I got to have my intro.
Okay. I got a health story. Oh, you got a product here. What do you got?
Oh, Magnesium Brain Foods on sale product of the week.
No, it always wins. Up.
It wins every time.
I have that every day.
Everybody does.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Everybody runs it every day now.
Yeah, people say, why don't you have any brain fog? I'm like, Magnesium Brain Foods every day.
If you guys want to stack up on them, too, even when the products are off sale, you can click the multi-pack at the top here on the front page, and it'll take you to all the different kits. We got more we're going to be adding this week. They're still on the site, but we're channeling or funneling them all into this one section to make it really simplistic for three-pack specials, because a lot of people now are starting to realize that transit times, shipping delays.
When is our HGH stimulate going to be here, bud? The 12th.
Yeah.
Today is the 8th, so we have 4 days.
Would you rather me say, I don't know?
Well, apparently the suppliers don't know. They keep telling us dates they don't keep.
Well, I can't help that. I've done the best I can to keep everything rolling.
Took us a year to get the purple sticks back.
I know.
We had to reformulate them.
This is going to be reformulated, too, because this now has the 5-MTHF in it. So it's going to be a better product. It's going to work even better.
It's going up like a dollar can or something.
Our cost is going up a couple bucks on it, but I haven't changed retail price on it for everybody. And I'll still have the three-pack specials.
Oh, by the way, just 17 minutes a day of weight training massively reduces the risk from heart disease and dementia.
I believe that.
Now, let me say something now. It's not just the weight training that we're talking about here. Okay? If you're, because sometimes my workouts are 17 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was talking to Boyer Coe, He told me, if your workouts are longer than 30 minutes, you're working out too long because you elevate too much cortisol. This is like he won Mr. Universe several times. And I thought to myself, okay. And I stopped working out 6 days a week, three times a week per body part, reduced the length of my workouts, increased the intensity. And sure enough, I got bigger and stronger and faster. But he was right. You can't overtrain. So they're saying 17 minutes a day of weight training gives you a really good reduction of heart disease and dementia response. So you got to look at it from a perspective of like from a health standpoint. You know, if you work 17 minutes a day, you work an hour a day, you work 2 hours a day, or you work 5 hours a day in the gym. I know people work 5 hour workouts. Where does the cost benefit analysis break? In other words, where does the maximum peak? You know, I know that just 3 days a week of cardio for 7 minutes, three times a week is really all you need from a cardiovascular training effect.
Max ROI and then basically starts to taper off precipitously is about 45 to 50 minutes, they've shown. Because right there at that point, cortisol levels start to become so high, it starts to become counterproductive with exercise. Now, unless you're somebody who's basically operating for a living or, you know, military training where you're doing a significant amount of conditioning, that's a different story, but that's also a different realm as far as what you're in. Majority of people, as far as for just overall health, is what we're talking about here. Generalized overall health, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, that's about it, man. You don't really need to. If your training is intense and efficient, that's the caveat you have to put in there. If you go in the gym for 30 minutes and you pick up a set of dumbbells and you sit on the phone and you take a selfie and you go back to another machine 20 minutes later and you take another selfie, and then you go sit on another piece of equipment, take another selfie, and you go, oh, I worked out for 30 minutes. No, you didn't. You wasted 30 minutes of your life on social media in the gym and completely ruined everybody else's workouts because you're inconsiderate and you didn't want to get off machines.
I've got to say it. It's true. I remember when I used to work out and I used to do supersets. I tried to do them in a public facility. Can't do it.
It's too hard.
No, because I have a gym here at the house, and what we do is we have like a couple of different, you know, chest machines. We go back and forth between the machines with no rest. No rest. So we're supersetting the whole time.
It's volume intensity.
So we'll end up doing like 15 sets on chest, and we do it like in 8 minutes.
Yeah, eight to 12.
Yeah, and you know, all of a sudden you say, well, that's not working out very long. But, you know, we just did, you know, 15 sets of 6 to 12 reps.
Average person in a public gym, that takes about an hour to do half the time. And then it's funny, last time I went over that, the new Golds, another name now, they have stickers on every mirror. They have stickers on every machine. Basically, no cell phone usage allowed on equipment. No cell phone usage allowed. They have it everywhere now. because it's become such a problem where everybody wants to be a influencer and sit on a machine and take a selfie and pretend they're actually exercising, and then they go and edit their photos with all these different apps to make it look like they're in good shape. I'm going to sell you my course. $10,000, I'll get you in shape. No.
You were so funny on Friday's show. You asked a question. You were talking about women. And I'm not picking on women because we can do that.
What did I say on Friday?
You said, well, you know, the women want these guys to bring all the stuff to the table, right? You know, they want all this. What do they bring to the table? And what a lot of women bring to the table is they sit on a machine and take pictures.
There you go.
that's their input. And
guys and girls do it.
Guys do it too.
Then they'll edit it with five different apps and try and make it look like they're something that they're not.
Yeah,
I'm a fitness influencer. Listen to me, I'll get you in shape. Dude, you're an idiot. You talk to them in person, and they literally have no idea what they're even talking about.
My favorite one was this guy who ran his mouth to you one time online, and you meet him at a car show.
Oh yeah,
and he's like four feet tall.
He's like 4'11", 5 foot, and I'm like, now I just kind of feel bad for you. he was running his mouth online. Oh, blah, 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 I'm going to do this. Nobody talks to me like this. I see you in person. I'm like, all right, man. So I'm going to be here at this date. Show up, pull up, see what happens. And he shows up, and I'm like, that was you? Okay. Well, all right, big guy.
Keyboard warrior. Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, hey, this is just 17 minutes a day for weight training lowers the risk of heart disease and dementia. It says in a new study, weightlifting was linked to roughly to 13% lower risk of all-cause mortality. That's huge. Mm-hmm. Those who combine resistance training with aerobic exercise, that's doing the cardio or doing circuit training, such as walking, circuit training, or dancing, or cardio, saw the greatest reduction in the risk of death. Researchers said that perhaps the most striking, most overlooked finding was the connection between weight training and neurological death. Whoa, particularly from dementia, which is estimated to affect over 7 million Americans. Now, I'm going to say something about this, and this is really important. You're trying to say, well, if you just work out 17 minutes a day, you're going to be healthier. Okay, here's the problem with that. It also is combined with the people that do this. They're more concerned about their health and what they eat.
That is very true.
Okay, so the reality is if you eat junk all day long and you work out 17 minutes a day, it won't make one bit of difference in your overall health or your death statistics or senile dementia statistics. I'm letting you know that. It won't work. You say, well, you can't prove that. Okay, whatever. Believe what you want to believe. I don't care. But I'm telling you, if you live on Twinkies and Ding Dongs and cupcakes, you're going to die young. Period. That's it. And whether you want to believe that or not believe that is entirely up to you. I mean, I'm not trying to make you do what you want to do. You do what you want to do. But I'm saying you got to combine the entire total of the entire lifestyle. That's why we wrote a book years ago, Eat Clean and Be Healthy. Talked about diet. 80% of what you look like is your diet, period. I don't care how much you work in the gym. Flex fat.
Well, they always say abs are made in the kitchen, not in the gym.
Yeah, that's right.
The fact of the matter is if you train and you exercise, it'll offset if you occasionally eat junk food, but you can't do it.
And the other thing about abs, training abs, I train abs every day. I do 15 hanging leg raises every day. Say, well, that's all you do? Yeah, that's all I do. Sometimes I do 30, sometimes I do 50. It doesn't matter. My abs are in great shape. I'm still hard as concrete on my abs. That prevents and really reduces the risks of herniation when you get older.
Yes.
Herniation is a big deal with guys. It really is. A lot of people get hernias. You pick up something, you twist wrong, you sneeze, you cough, all of a sudden, boom, you tear something. And it's just something that happens, but you got to work your abdominal muscles, keep them strong, so that reduces the risk of that. And then it says the exact number of push-ups that can slash the risk of heart problems by 96%. And I'm thinking, okay. And now a lot of you say, well, I don't have a gym at home. Okay, great. You can do push-ups at home. You got two arms. Now, here's the caveat with that. If you trained really heavy when you were young, you may have some issues with your shoulders doing push-ups. Just let you know, because it's like doing a bench press.
Well, you just got to find out. If you're having issues or you're trying to get into them, you're not strong enough on them, start off push-ups off your knees.
And?
Yeah. Nobody's seeing you in your house.
Collagen.
I'm not going to make fun of you for doing push-ups off your knees, because I'm not going to see you do it. But you can start somewhere. And like you said, you throw the collagen in. Mm-hmm. I've known people over the years that used to be in great shape, and we've done stuff like, all right, let's do a push-up contest. They can't do them. I can't get off the ground. Well, I'm up 50 pounds. I said, well, that's a you problem, dude. What's that to do with me? I can't help you do push-ups.
It said, at the start, participants were asked to perform as many push-ups as possible, stopping either when they reach exhaustion or 80 push-ups. Now, 80 push-ups is a lot.
One set, 80 solid.
Yeah. I used to do 100 a set. Let me tell you a funny story. I'm in my mom's bar one time, German beer tavern, and Howard's in there, my surrogate dad, right? And we start talking about push-ups. And he starts bragging about how many push-ups he can do. And I looked at Howard. Now, this is terrible. I should have done this. This is awful. I said, Howard, whatever you do, I can do four times as many. This guy was running my mouth. I was like 17 years old, right? And he looked at me and goes, I don't think you can do that. I said, I bet you I can. So he surprised me, Austin. He'd been doing push-ups every day. The brat didn't tell me.
Sandbagged you.
He sandbagged me. He set me up. And he jumps down and does 25 solid push-ups right off his toes. So I'm sitting there going,
gosh.
Oh, God, I read my big mouth German thing here. I got to think about this for a second now. So it was so funny. I sat down and I did 100 push-ups.
What's that?
Man, I'm dripping sweat.
Oh, man, yeah.
I'm stinking. I told you I could do it. He looked at me, he started laughing. He goes, well, I didn't think you could do that. I'm like, yeah, I'm all pumped up, you know. I was like, gosh, I'm just hot. It's ridiculous. Now, one time I remember I was watching this super team, this team, and some guy sandbagged me like that. He was at a church, and he had weights. Now, this is what he did. His name was John Jacobs. He's unbelievable. It was back then unbelievably strong. He put 2 1/4 on a curl bar.
Ooh.
And he had about 3 or 4 people from the audience come up and said they were all working out. They said, so how many can you do on a curl?
225 on a curl bar?
On a curl bar.
That's stout, man. It's a quick way to tear your bicep tendon, too.
Okay, so it was so funny. So finally, nobody could do it.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I mean, the most I could ever curl was 200 pounds. Because when it gets beyond your own body weight, it's almost impossible.
Well, on top of that, you're really, if you don't have the joints for it, you're really asking to tear bicep tendon.
And he did something that I think it was kind of unscrupulous, but it did work for me anyhow. He said, well, how many of you right now, if I do a curl or this, will you give me, $200 for every rep I do? He actually did this. And I thought, yeah, whatever, man. I'm not giving you $200. And so he got down. It was 200, 150, 120, 50. Finally, he got down to like, how many will give me $10 for every curl you I do at a quarter, 2 1/4? I thought, what the heck, man? I want to see this guy pick this bar. He's running his mouth, right? I raised my hand. I said, I'll do it. I'll do $10 a curl. That sucker, I can't remember. He did, I think he did 15 reps of that 2 1/4.
225 on curls?
It was either 10 or 15. So I remember I had like $150 in cash in my wallet. I thought, that guy got me, boy.
He
sandbagged me. Because he knew what he could do. And I don't know how many other people actually paid what they said they would, but I did. I thought myself, well, it wasn't worth $150 watching him do it, but I have never seen anybody do that many reps with 2 1/4. And they were clean reps, too.
Yeah.
He wasn't swinging. And I thought to myself, this dude. But then he found out later he was maybe a little bit enhanced. But the reality is he was extremely strong. And I was shocked. And he's a good speaker, too. I think they call him the power team or something like that. I can't remember.
But okay,
you remember that?
I remember them before, yes.
But he seemed like a really nice guy. But I gave him the donation. And it says, over the following decade, they were asked to report any cardiovascular events, such as coronary artery disease, if they could do push-ups. The results were revealing. Overall, those who could do 11 push-ups or more had a 64% lower risk of cardiovascular disease. Can you believe that? Just 11.
That's wild. Just 11 push-ups.
11 push-ups. Because the people who were able to do 21 push-ups had a 75% lower risk of cardiovascular disease. And the people who could do 40 or more push-ups had a 96% lower risk of any heart problems. 96%. Think about that for a second.
You guys, push-ups are free.
There's no way.
You don't need a gym membership.
Get up out of the crawl into the kitchen in the morning. Go back. Go use the bathroom. Crawl into the kitchen. You don't have to comb your hair yet. You walk around, your hair all puffy up in the air, and basically crawl into the kitchen. And here's what you do: you take your purple sticks, slap yourself upside the head a couple times, drop to the floor after your shoulders warm up.
Just do some cold water in your face.
Make sure you stretch out your shoulders before you do them. And get a dumbbell if you have to, and do a set of push-ups every morning. Oh my gosh, there you go, a set of push-ups to failure, and then get up and finish getting dressed.
Yeah,
and that it says by itself. Now you don't have to buy any weights, you don't have to buy any dumbbells.
You don't have to leave your house.
You don't have to leave the kitchen. You do it on the floor, on the vinyl on the floor. Just make sure the kitchen floor is clean, or throw a towel down, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you don't have dogs pooping in there the night before. Oh, God, that's disgusting.
What?
Yeah, oh, my God. No, I can tell you stories.
Sounds like him from experience.
Oh, my gosh. I remember one time, this is awful, we were at my mom's house, and we had this Malamute. And I remember this Malamute went on the front porch. This Malamute was like 170 pounds. It was a giant Alaskan Malamute. And it took a giant poop on the front porch. And I mean, a big pile. And my mom walked out and looked at it and goes, yeah, okay, that's great. Gosh, she was mad. She's German. Boy. She scrubbed the sidewalk. She was mad. She had a dog poop in her house. That's why I said.
Meticulous.
Oh, so when I see stuff like that, I'm like, if you're going to have a dog in the house, make sure they're really well-trained.
Nobody wants to do push-ups over dog poop.
No, man. Keep your mitt on the floor, though.
Oh, man. All right. I'm going to switch gears on that topic here. This is interesting. Alternatives for statins that might target the root of heart disease. They said explore the potential natural supplements as alternatives or complements to statins.
We've been talking about this for years.
They said statins are the go-to treatment for preventing heart disease, except
they don't work.
They're not. They're unbelievably unhealthy. They cause a whole host of different side effects. They wreck your hormone imbalance, especially for males. And pretty much, if you want to crash your testosterone, go on statins. I mean, invariably. I pulled up the link online. You can pull it up. I mean, even on Google. Google doesn't even suppress it. Do statins lower testosterone? Yes, definitive proof statins lower testosterone by almost half.
When you go on statins and you drop your cholesterol, even if you drop your cholesterol under 200, disease rates go to the roof, all disease rates, particularly cancer. The lower your cholesterol goes, the higher your risks of disease and cancer. And the lower your testosterone goes, and your brain goes to mush, and you can't think, you can't remember anything. So the number one drug we tell people never to take are statin drugs. It's too easy to correct higher cholesterol by changing your diet and lifestyle choices. Just even drinking half your body weight in fluid ounces every day lowers your doggone cholesterol. It really does, because it thins out the blood. And make sure it's distilled water or reverse osmosis water without chlorine and fluoride. Real important.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The issue is with it. And the thing was, when you go into the top.
So if you weigh 100, if you weigh 200 pounds, you get 100 ounces of water a day. That's the math.
That's the math on it. And so the topic of it, when you start discussing it and you start looking at what a lot of these drugs do, you start realizing you've got to be proactive as far as in your overall health, because what's happening is there's the root cause of it. Oxidized blood lipids refer to fat in the bloodstreams that have undergone oxidation, a process in which molecules lose electrons. That's the low-density cholesterol. That's the LDLs, commonly known as bad cholesterol, can become oxidized because of various factors. Smoking, high blood pressure, diabetes, high levels of reactive substances in the body. So it's when LDL cholesterol is oxidized, it can contribute to plaque formation of the arteries. Here's the thing. It's been massively manipulated with the numbers on it, especially because you've got to look at overall lifestyle and diet when actually doing research on cholesterol numbers. Your phone's ringing.
This is so embarrassing.
This is so unprofessional.
This is so bad.
Gosh. Anyways, back to my train of thought here. Most of the time when they start, as far as referencing with cholesterol, the doctors look at the numbers. That is it. They don't actually look at the lifestyle contributing factors. And most of the time, I have found that customers, when they start just eating clean, eating healthy fats, going in and basically having good quality foods and staying away from the ultra-processed foods, there's usually a marked increase in the HDLs, lower LDLs, and increased energy and overall health, including triglycerides as well. Watch this, seen it. So that's the major factor, is overall health as far as food. When customers need to drop their cholesterol even more, they're trying to do something. We also have the vascular laxant. We have the cholesterol X. We also have the Hemlo formula. And there's now more research that's showing in berberine. Topic. So we use the dihydroberberine, the berberine ultimate. It says berberine has been used in traditional Chinese medicine for thousands of years. They said berberine is a plant compound that boasts multifaceted benefits ranging from enhanced cognitive function to controlled blood glucose levels to fortifying the immune system. There's significant quality data on berberine and has a good safety profile. They said the recent meta-analysis of 44 studies, look at this, post-camaphore, 44 studies found that berberine improved blood lipid levels, inflammation, osteosclerosis with minimal risk. It outperformed statins in reducing factors such as stroke risk and arterial bill plaque up. I'm going to reread that. Berberine outperforms statins in reducing factors such as stroke risk and artery plaque buildup.
No, we're not making this claim. This study
is the study. Like, you can click it right here in the meta-analysis. So you're looking at this and you're going, why would I ever go on a drug that's been linked to basically muscle atrophy, it's been linked to kidney problems.
It's called skeletal muscle necrosis.
It's been linked to testosterone reduction and a whole host of other health problems, when they're claiming here that berberine outperform and help reduce the very problems that statin says they do, but yet they don't, because the other benefits that statins may provide are massively outweighed by the side effects, in my opinion. If they say, well, statins are going to help with this, the LDL.
They don't provide any benefits of anything. Read Breakthrough Health.
Yep.
The first, I tell you, top 10 drugs never to use. The first drug I tell you not to use are statin drugs, period. It's too easy to control higher cholesterol with dietary change. This thing has so many. If you're on that statin drug for 37 years, Austin, they say you live 3 days longer. Yeah. Wait a minute. 37 years, you live 3 days longer, and you have all these horrible side effects for the 37 years. What is the point of that, Austin? With no testosterone, no libido, yeah. No memory,
no energy,
no nothing. What is that about?
That's honestly rough for guys, because that's one of the most common effects that I've had. So many people I know, even friends that have gotten on statins against my better, advice to them, and they come back, they're like, dude, my libido's like to the floor. As soon as I've been on statins, I have like no energy, no sex drive, nothing. I'm sitting there going, well, there's a correlation, right? How'd you feel before the statins? I felt great. High energy, high muscle, high testosterone. How do you feel after you take the statins? Horrible. Okay. You don't have to be a mathematician to figure it out. And then you have what's going on with the cardio benefits and the anti-diabetic benefits that they claim right here. It says emerging researchers also highlight berberine's anti-diabetic potential. Studies show it lowers blood glucose, triglycerides, and insulin. And the paper, they called it the ideal medicine. This is their claim. In the 2009 paper, they called it the ideal medicine for treating type 2 diabetes. And a 2023 report found that berberine outperformed metformin, the drug that lowers blood glucose and treating obesity and controlling lipid profile.
And metformin causes pancreatic cancer.
Yeah. And so there's a reason why. And then the dihydroberberine takes another level. That's the newer patented formula that we brought out 2 years ago that actually has a significant more bioavailability than regular berberine. So you only need about 200 milligrams of DHB or dihydroberberine to get the same effects as a gram of straight berberine. And it's much easier to process, digest, and uptake, and to utilize. And guys, there's always options in most cases for natural solutions and stuff. That's why we do the show. That's why I bring these topics up. That's why we produce the highest quality supplements I can physically make and he can make, because at the end of the day, I'm taking them. My friends are taking them. My family's taking them. Why am I going to produce crap? I don't want to take that. I want to take junk. I put it in my body and be like, oh, yeah, it's great.
It's like yesterday, it was so funny, too. There's an article, Not Your Father's Country Club. Here comes the private racetracks. Okay. Yesterday, I got really blessed. I went to church on Saturday night. I told you I was going to do it on Friday. And I got to drive a Corvette yesterday on a racetrack in Tampa.
Now, yeah, you did.
Now, here's the thing. They put 93 octane in that. One guy was running straight racial with lead.
110 leaded.
Okay. And so.
GP racing.
No, this
that was a GT3 R Cup car.
I got Corvette up to about 140 miles an hour on the straightaway. It was great. Austin has a video of me doing it. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. And, it kind of makes me feel like I'm 20 years old again, which I really like. And here's the thing. There are no troopers out there with radar guns.
Well, it's a private track. It's fully
private
legal.
Track. And so here's the segue. Why would you put garbage gas in that car when you're driving it yesterday? Why would you put garbage supplements in you that are going to poison you long-term-wise and give you all kinds of problems, including heart disease, because they're full of calcium carbonate? I'm just telling you can buy what you want to buy, but we take this stuff personally, okay? I use it every day. I use it
a lot.
Multiple times a day, probably too much. And I've had, I think, four purple sticks this morning. I'm feeling good. And I think I got to bed late last night.
Hey, that Corvette didn't have race buckets in it. How'd they hold you in some of the corners? I forgot to ask you that.
Well, I had the move a little bit. I've got a memory foam because I've had back surgery many years ago, and so I have a memory foam in the seat. It held very well. But now, don't get me wrong, they told us we could not drift the cars.
Oh yeah.
So I was, and plus then they told us that the curbing has got like little edges on it, and if you hit them, it'll destroy the suspension and blow out your tires. That keeps you off the curbs pretty good. Because you don't want to drift. And they say, if you start drifting, well, what happens? You drift the cars, a lot of times you lose control of them. And if there's another car on the track, you'll run into somebody else. It's like on the Nürburgring. I remember over there one time I was going to drive on the Nürburgring. I was told, you drive on the Nürburgring, these guys who drive that track every day will put you into the wall.
Yeah.
I said, no, they wouldn't. Yeah, they do. They do it on pretty. They get a kick. They get
a high speed course, though. Man.
That's like a mile and a half straightaway.
Oh, yeah. It's just a 7.2 mile track.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's got some
I think it's more than that, isn't it? I think it's like 12 miles.
No, I think it's about 7. Well, no.
The old track.
You're right about that because the lap time's on it. Now, I have to look at the thing. It's a long track.
But anyhow, they gave you all the rules, and they only have two places you can pass, and they were both in the straights. So it's so funny. Here's the problem. I was running against a bunch of Porsches yesterday. Now, let me say something. I'm in a vet, all right? Now, vets run great in a straight line. They do. But they can't handle. They can't turn. They can't make corners. They just can't. And so I had these cars. So I'd get in a straight line. I'd leave everybody behind me. Okay, by the time I got to the corners, they're right behind me. But they couldn't pass me on the corners. It was great. And so then I had some guy in some, was it some Audi or Volkswagen, an SUV.
It was an RSQ7.
He passed me like I was standing still.
It was a wagon. Yeah, I think modded though, heavy. Now you tell.
It was embarrassing. I thought. I'm being passed by a station wagon. This is horrible.
Well, he could drive, though.
He could drive,
car
though.
Car set up. I don't think that Carver expected to be doing that.
So why would you, again, go on a racetrack like that? But here's what you got to do. Make sure you get ball tires. You have a bunch of holes on them. So when you're up to 140 on the straights, that you get to have a blowout. That's just the best thing to do. So why do you want to blow out one of your arteries because you've taken horrible supplements your whole life? Oh, that was a good segue. Yeah.
Cheap tires blow out. Yeah. Cheap vitamins.
Cause problems. I had a friend of mine who was a doctor, and all the supplements he was taking were loaded with calcium carbonate. He had his first heart attack at like 51, 52. You remember the guy's name? And I finally told him, I said, look, I'm a naturopath, dude. Why don't you let me look at your supplements? And he was into health, but his dad was into health more than he was. And so his dad's like in his 80s running around still in practice with him. And this guy's in his early 50s, and he just has this massive heart attack. And I look at the supplements. They all contain calcium carbonate. And he had hardening of the arteries that causes that. And I looked at him. I said, dude, I said, yeah, this is no good, man. You got to stop doing this. A couple of years later, I think it was 53 or 54, another massive heart attack, dead.
Very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. Great guy. I love the guy. Good friend. But, you know, the point is, why put cheap supplements in your body? Why? I mean, you're ingesting this stuff. Why in the world do you want to try to make your body deal with some type of toxin?
Well, and that's what's always baffled my mind as far as when people that actually do understand concepts of ultra-processed foods and, you know, toxic ingredients and high fructose corn syrup, when they at least know it, and yet they keep doing it every single day. And I get moderation with stuff. I'm not going to put some halo in my head. I love ice cream. I love Haagen-Dazs. I try to stay away from it. It'll pack body fat on you.
That Belgian chocolate chip.
Triple chocolate fudge.
Gosh,
I mean, so it's like, yeah, okay. Sometimes you want to partake in that. But my biggest thing, and I've told so many people this, when they're trying to get in better shape, they're trying to eat clean, is you keep it out of the house. I'm going to say that again for everybody in the back that just ignored what I said.
What'd you say? I'm listening.
There you go. Thank you. Keep it out of the house.
Don't buy it.
Don't bring it home. If you want to go do it somewhere, you want to go get ice cream, go out and take the kids out to go get ice cream somewhere. Flat out. Go take them out and do it. That way everybody gets a treat occasionally. Everybody enjoys it, but you don't go out. I remember this. I'll tell you a story. This is a funny story. Lana still gets mad at me about it.
Is this when you passed on the airplane?
No. I was 14, dude. You still going to keep bringing that up?
I am.
I was a child. You fed me too many cookies.
Oh,
it's his fault. I can't take any responsibility for my actions at that time.
All 14-year-olds absolve from any responsibility when they're adults.
Yeah, so I'm in my 20s. I'm in contest prep for a show. I'm like 6 weeks out. You're in that pivotal time where, like, if you guys have ever cut hard, everything you eat makes a difference at 6 weeks. And so what happens is the reason why it's so important to keep that stuff out is so all of a sudden she comes home from Publix. So like tubs of this organic ice cream. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I'm on fish and broccoli right now. I'm so carb depleted, I can't even focus on much of anything, and you're going to bring this crap in the house. And I threw all the ice cream away.
Threw it away.
Whoa, I didn't even turn it. I threw it in the trash can, dumped it out.
I bet all eight she double sticks broke loose.
It's a pretty good fight for a couple days. Not exactly what I wanted.
But that was smart.
But no, it was smart from a strategic standpoint. Probably not the best to do anymore. I wouldn't recommend it. It usually starts a whole lot of conflict. It's unnecessary.
Just take it back and get a refund.
I'm manufacturing my own conflict at that point.
I've got another story. I was in contest prep, right?
Yep.
And I went to Howard's house. Howard Grant went and did all the push-ups. His mom was there. She says, you've lost weight. Because I was real lean. She goes, I've got chocolates.
Oh, gosh.
She brings me out a box of Stouffer's chocolates. I literally ate the whole box.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was so carb.
Especially if you're in prep, you won't stop. That's the thing.
It was awful.
And I knew that. Once you break it like that, you won't stop eating it because your body craves it so hard. So, again, keep it out of the house. Now, one thing I wanted to tie back into with this, with the berberine and also going into the natokinase, because that was my final topic on here, with the cardiovascular benefits and the statin effects that are so negative. There's so many different options on it. Natokinase, which is an enzyme that breaks down unwanted blood clots in the blood circulation. It digests fibrin. It's a molecule. It's also only one, and we have wounds and need to repair the wounds. The studies, basically from 2022, published in Frontiers of Cardiovascular Medicine, found that supplementing natokinase for a year effectively managed atherosclerosis and high lipid levels. Other studies show natokinase reduced plaque buildup by 36.6% compared to 11.5% for statins.
Now, I will say one
That's
thing.
A big deal.
Now, here's the thing with natokinase, and be careful with this.
Well, the one we have is extremely strong.
No, start with one, because it will cause bruising.
You take a lot, like four of them.
It will. I've done it, okay? So it's that strong. I mean, we're not making any claims on this, but, you know,
this is what the studies are finding.
And particularly if you've taken that shot we can't talk about, what the name of it is. YouTube's nice. I mean, you just do this with whatever that is. If you took that 5-6 years ago, you need to probably be on nanokinesis, keep that blood thing, because of the spike proteins, but really, really important. Oh, I've got an interesting.
What do you do now?
Israel now, you know, bombed Beirut again, and then, of course, now Iran. No, listen.
Bombing somebody.
No, listen to me for a second. I'm going to read you scripture on this in a second, let you guys have a little new thing. I know Benjamin Netanyahu. I had lunch with him. I mean, the man, well, pretty much, I felt like I needed to take a shower with lye soup after I got done with that lunch. I had about 10 of us there that day. And he just lies about everything. And the crazy part about it is that, you know, Trump's now mad, flipping it out and right off, screaming and yelling, you got to listen to me, blah, 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 blah. And so they're still bombing Lebanon because they want to see, their thing is, unless they have the Greater Israel program in place, they can't produce their Messiah. That's the problem they've got. They have to have the whole greater thing in place before they can do that. So it doesn't matter what Trump says or anybody else says. They're going to do what they want. So they're just going to lie and then do it. And so now Iran's bombing them again. They're bombing Iran. Now Yemen's gotten into the middle of it. They're bombing
Yemen's in the middle of it now, too.
Well, they've been bombing Yemen for years. I mean,
everybody bombs each other in the same blocks. There's no reason for us to be over
there. Why are we there, okay?
We didn't have time enough.
Now, Jesus had an interesting observation about these people over there. In the book of John, he calls them the children of the devil, these guys that are the Sabbatean, Kabbalists, Luciferian, synagogue of Satan. And that's a precursor to what they were called back then. This is interesting. And this is we covered this in church on Sunday. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the book of John. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Peter found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And then Nazareth, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Nathanael said, "Come and see," said Philip. Now, remember, they just said, "Can anything good come from there?" And Jesus already called these people the children of the devil that were worshiping Lucifer at that time and sacrificing their children still. And when Jesus sees Nathanael approaching, here's what he says. This is funny. Now put your math together on this one. He said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." I saw this. They read this at church on Saturday night, and I thought to myself, Israelite in whom there's no deceit. And I thought, Benjamin Netanyahu, he lies constantly.
They all lie.
Henry Kissinger lied constantly. And you think to yourself, is there anybody from that area in the sandbox that doesn't lie constantly? And it's sad to me because it's crazy what they do. And the fact that we're involved in Iran and we're spending literally billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in tax dollars to be over there. And now here's what we've done more than anything else, Austin, that I don't like at all. We've showed the vulnerability of our military. We've showed that we cannot maintain a long-term conflict with missiles, et cetera.
That is exactly what we did. That was unbelievable. We've
exhausted a huge percentage of our Patriot missile systems, and now we're sitting here going, wait a minute. And by the way, the USS Ford returned to the service of their aircraft carrier that was, quote, hit by something, and Iran said they hit them, and they had 600 soldiers placed, and they said it was a kitchen fire, laundry room fire, whatever, and they almost lost the ship. It almost sunk, and Iran said they'd hit it. Now, and that was in Daily Mail, by the way, last week. And they had a whole story on how our government covered the fact that they had a missile strike on that ship. I mean, that's a big, big deal when you realize that we almost lost our premier aircraft carrier in the sandbox. For what reason? Absolutely no reason at all. Just to go in there at the behest of Benjamin Netanyahu, who, by the way, we have to look at also, was the one who had worked with Epstein and all the rest of the stuff that they were doing with Mossad. So, you know, it's unbelievable what we have here, what we're involved in. And now Trump is also saying that the boat strikes that we've had, and we've killed all those people down in the Caribbean, there's no reduction whatsoever in any drugs coming into the United States because of the boat strikes. None. Imagine that, Austin.
They never could confirm what drugs are on the boat.
No,
they never. The original stories, they said fentanyl was coming in out of Venezuela. And I mean, I've talked to multiple people, actually a good friend of mine that does a lot of work for me, that's from Venezuela. And I asked him, I said, "You know, you still got family all down there." I said, "Is Venezuela involved in any type of fentanyl production?" He said, "Dude, nothing that I've ever heard of in my life." He goes, "Majority of fentanyl is coming out of either Mexico or China." He goes, "Venezuela has no production facilities for fentanyl down there." But that's the story. You always have to have the narrative and keep everybody completely distracted. Now, here's an article that I want to cover here. So I haven't talked about this in a minute. And this was the study that came out that Harrison wrote from the other day. I was talking about B12 is one of the most overlooked factors in cognitive decline. We're seeing more issues now that's going on as far as with dementia, with Alzheimer's, and it's getting worse. And one of the issues they're saying now is the increased lack of B12 in people's blood levels when they're getting tests. They said B12 has emerged as one of the most consistently studied yet frequently overlooked contributors to brain health. What makes it particularly important is that B12 deficiency is not rare. In fact, it's estimated to affect a significant portion of the population, and it goes undiagnosed because standard blood tests do not always reflect functional deficiency at the cellular level. This creates a situation where individuals may appear normal on routine tests, but experience subtle neurological changes that progress over time. This is why I've told people B12 is a water-soluble B vitamin, one of the most important. A, it needs to be methylated. B, it needs to be bioactive. Third, it needs to be used on a regular basis because your body uses it like fuel, like magnesium. You can't go, I'm going to take a B12 supplement today. Well, I'll see about taking it again next month. It doesn't work like that. It has to be continually added into your supplement nutrition standpoint.
I sat here one day on the show and took 10 of those. You guys had to call off those. And it didn't do anything to me. Now, a few weeks later, I took 5, and then I went and had my blood testing done, and I was off the charts on
greater B12. Greater than 1,500.
He looked at me and goes, how did you get to B12 so high? That's like impossible. I said, well, we have a product that actually works. He goes, wow, that's amazing.
Well, it is bioactive. It's methylated. And that's the most important factor is taking the proper amounts and the proper quality, because there's too many times now that people are constantly trying to take these supplements and they want to go to Walmart and get their great value brand BS vitamins that don't work. And then they complain about feeling like crap still. Half the time, a lot of these vitamins, guys, listen to me, half the times I know where a lot of these Rawls come. They come out of China from all these cheap companies. And so what happens is these ingredients that they put in them have zero ability to increase B12 levels or energy or mitochondrial function. Period. They're trash. Half the time they poison you on it. That's one of the reasons why we run so much B12 and the multiple powder and the bright is the purple sticks. The Ted over there's pulling through. We trying to see what the dosage is on them.
Yeah,
it's right here.
It's too small.
It's not too small. You just got to. You got your glass on. 1,000 micrograms per dosage.
You actually read that? Wow.
Yeah. Just, you know, I take EyeSight.
I do too, but you know, I mean, that's tiny.
You got a couple years on me though. Although,
no,
I'm catching
no,
up to
I,
you.
No, well, I'm
catching up
I'm
to
your,
you. I'm eventually, at some point, we're both going to hit the same age, and then I'm going to be and take better care of myself and sleep more.
Oh, by the way, U.S. tourists are tricked into paying $50 for two ice creams in Rome.
$50?
Oh, well, you know,
the gypsies get them over there again?
No, no, no. Here's the crazy. You go. Now, listen to this. They don't do this. But you go over to, you know, Ghirardelli's over in, you know, Disney, and they'll hit you for $30 for a doggone, you know, ice cream sundae or something.
It's because Pedophile Island over there.
Pedophile Island. Like, they must like ice cream, huh?
Yeah, it's Disney. What do you expect out of it?
But I know. So it's funny they say that about the people in Rome. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't happen in Rome. $50 for two scoops of ice cream, right?
That's a bit obscene.
But what they did, they hit a bunch of surcharges. Like, you have to have a bowl cleaning charge on the bill.
Bowl cleaning charge?
So crazy. And you know, and so.
Over the Airbnb over
Well,
here?
No, you got to remember. Ice cream? You got to remember, the people over in Italy, they don't really have an industry over there. I mean, they have Ferrari. That's about it. And there's really nothing else they do that doesn't
anything. Lamborghini, too. They got Ferrari, but let's clarify. We don't know how much Ferrari's left in the world after this doggone EV stunt they just pulled.
Pull the badge off.
Yeah, go back.
Man.
Go follow a playbook for Lamborghini and stop acting so gay. That thing that they produced, that was a joke. That EV thing that they came up with, I mean, it was. I've never seen a vehicle uglier than Tesla until Ferrari came out with one. I was like, I don't know what that was.
My buddy Chris.
Shares are still down.
My buddy Chris, who drives a Ferrari.
He loves Ferraris.
He has one. He told me, he goes, I'm unbelievably embarrassed that they're doing this.
The brand image.
The shares fell.
Shares
they haven't come back.
Still. Everybody's liquidating them. And what's crazy is now all the older Ferraris, the 458s,
going
the 488s,
up.
They're going up through the roof now. Everybody's buying them. And they're putting them in their warehouses and storing them now.
You know what's funny? They have 1,000 horsepower in this EV, right? But nobody wants it anyhow.
Nobody wants it. They could put 5,000
horsepower.
It's
the ugliest thing they've ever put out.
They can make it a 6-7 second car.
They need to kill the deal.
They
need to kill it. They say, well, we made an error here. Or they need to produce like 3 of them and be done with it.
They need to come. Yeah, exactly. If they try to recoup it, we're going to make this limited edition. We're going to make like 10 of them.
Yeah.
This EV flagship that's going to be one and done. Cool. And then slowly pretend they never did it.
Catacombs in Rome. You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
You remember what happened with that taxi driver? You don't remember. You're too young.
They stacked bodies down there.
We went to the catacombs in Rome. This is just tell you what happens in Rome. You know, some things have to stay in Rome.
And a lot of things need to stay in Rome.
Oh, yeah. And so we went to the catacombs. They're about 10 minutes outside of Rome, right? And so they told us that if we go out there, we couldn't basically get a taxi out there. There were no taxis. And there was no Uber back then. So we had to leave the taxi there with the motor running or the whatever. And so I asked the taxi driver in Rome, I said, dude, I said, how much will you take us to go to the catacombs? Let's go out there for an hour and come back again in the car. Don't leave us. He goes, this is going to be, you know, about, you know, $50. I said, okay. That's fine. That's okay. This is like years ago. I thought, okay, that's really good. That's expensive, but that's okay. It's equivalent to like $150 now. And so we get out there, and I notice he has his meter running. You remember this?
Yeah.
And I said, turn your meter off. He goes, no, I can't. I have to do this for the record, you know, to relocate where I am. Okay. Well, we get out there after an hour, and now the bill's not $50. It's like $150 back then in my American. And I looked at him. He goes, well, you know, he goes, no problem whatsoever. So he takes us back to the hotel. Now it's like $200. And all of a sudden, he goes, well, you owe me $200 now. And I said, no, we don't. You told me it'd be $50.
That's a conversation the entire time, bro. Like,
he goes, well, I'm going to call the police. You won't pay me. I've got it on the meter right here. And I'm like, I looked at him. I started laughing. I said, I coughed off the cash. And I said, okay, you got me. That's the kind of stuff you're going to get when you go to foreign countries, especially Italy. It's unbelievably bad there, especially
in
Rome.
You find out, too, a situation like that, what they do is most of the cops get money on the back end. They will call the cops on you.
Oh, they will.
They'll meet a call law enforcement. And then law enforcement will say, we're detaining you. We're basically bringing you into jail for the night if you don't pay this bill. So now you're going to jail in Italy, or you pay the extortion fee.
That's right.
It's where it is. So be cautious.
And we were at Athens a few years later, about 5 or 8 years ago, and I'll never forget. They had brought Uber in, and they had the mafia ran the cabs, and they were killing the doggone Uber drivers.
They were.
And finally, the Uber drivers left. They all quit. They went, because you'd take, it was an $8 Uber ride or a taxi, they'd say, it's $40. And yeah. So the Uber drivers were being honest about it because there was an upfront fee. The taxi drivers wouldn't do that. So be really, really careful where you go in some of these countries in Europe, because some of them are just going to rip you off, period.
Especially if they find out you're American.
They had in Greece over there that one restaurant on Mykonos. I'll never forget it. They were selling oysters for $1,000 a dozen. But the menu didn't have it listed as a payment. It was an open menu, like, no, and people were not.
It was market price.
It was market price. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they ordered 2 dozen oysters. The bill would be $2,000. And you're like, what the heck? And they would, same thing. They would call the police on you. So it was crazy. So you got to be real careful when you go over there and make sure you know what it's going to cost before you order it. How much is 2 scoops of ice cream? It's going to be $50. No, not doing that. How much is 2 scoops of ice cream? It'd be $30. No, not doing that.
I think for the situation, I was just looking up here, what they're doing is they're coming in and saying like a scoop's like $9.99. It's like $10. Plus asterisk on there, and then they write it up for you. They hand it to you, and they say, okay, the final bill's $50 now, $49. You're like, dude, I thought it's $10 a scoop. Well, yeah, like you said, we have a transfer fee and a cleaning fee and a spoon fee and a scoop fee and a taste fee and a clean fee. And all of a sudden you're like, what is this, Airbnb? They add up the double the bill on it. So, yeah, watch some of that stuff over there. It's very manipulated. There's another article, too, I want to cover here. This goes into detail on vitamin D. I covered part of this story the other day, and more research is coming out on it again now, talking about how magnesium, as is recognized as an essential mineral. So we talked about the magnesium brain food earlier this morning. However, they're saying now that basically the magnesium dosages and increased levels of magnesium increase vitamin D metabolism and alter gut bacteria positively in a way that helps activation of D3. They're saying now in this study, it's conducted a double-blind randomized placebo-controlled trial involving 240 participants, and they looked at the method of determining cause and effect relationship for magnesium and D3 metabolizing. So the metabolism of D3 and body's actually able to absorb it. And they're saying here that the magnesium vitamin is required for enzymatic activation of vitamin D. Meaning if you don't have proper amounts of magnesium in your body, you can't properly metabolize D3.
There you go.
Isn't that interesting? That's why some people are still saying, you know, their levels never get up. They're taking it and their vitamin D3 levels are 22. It says research confirmed that magnesium plays an essential role in processing a requirement for vitamin D activation. Vitamin D must undergo several transformation steps before it becomes biologically active. Vitamin D is converted into intermediate forms and ultimately its active hormonal form, which binds to D3 receptors, regulates gene expression. Magnesium is required for all activation steps. Insufficient magnesium availability can impair vitamin D metabolism, even when vitamin D intake is adequate. That's wild, and that shows you another reason, too, why it's so important for basically magnesium and its response for energy and overall health function and immune support function in the body. The conclusion on this, it also helps out with the vitamin D gut microbe composition, which also ties in to basically hormonal production, dopamine, and serotonin production. A lot of people forget about that. It is the gut microbe, the gut bacteria, has to be active in the body in order to produce serotonin and produce basically dopamine. When your body gets low on these hormones and your body gets low on gut microbe, like you're messing it up with ultra-processed foods, your body can't produce those hormones.
Well, this morning when I had my purple sticks combined with my, you know, vitamin C this morning, I also threw a 350 billion pack of probiotics into the
pack. That's a stack on that thing.
And because, remember, it's better to take that stuff on an empty stomach. It really is. And I try to do that. I try to run through like a pack of that every few months, your whole box, because it really helps. I had to go on antibiotics a few months ago. And I tell you what, this stuff is amazing what it does as far as restoring
that
gut flora.
You're referring to this one, right?
That's the big boy.
350 billion CFUs.
We bring this in out of Belgium. It's hard to get. It's the world's
hard
strongest
to get,
probiotic.
And it's expensive to make, man. And it's getting and I don't get tariffs on it when it comes in from stuff from Europe.
But you're getting an income tax refund from the tariffs, remember?
I've got nothing yet. All
yet,
you
bro.
See paying out more money, and I'm getting nothing for it.
Oh, by the way, back to this thing. Did the Iranian missiles cause a fire on the USS Gerald Ford aircraft carrier? Okay. And now they're saying that. But now here's what I want you to say. Iran fired, listen to this. This is something nobody heard about. Fired 101 missiles at the USS Abraham Lincoln at once.
That's a barrage.
Now, they said they successfully, they probably, I don't know how in the world they did that, how they stopped all that, claimed that American Naval Force successfully intercepted large-scale missile attacks launched by Iran targeting the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln. According to Trump, Iran fired 101 missiles at the aircraft carrier, but asserted that everyone was knocked down at sea. They shot 100 missiles at one of our aircraft carriers, one of the largest, biggest ships in the world, and 101 missiles shot. Every single one of them was knocked down. So you think of it, what that means, 101 missiles, highly sophisticated, very fast, got shot. He speaks in staccato.
Now, they knock him down. If you guys have ever watched it, it's a crazy weapon. It's the 20-millimeter Vulcan Phalanx, basically the Phalanx CIX. It's a minigun that fires. It's like 4,500 rounds a minute at 20 millimeter.
And they got a massive belt.
It's absolutely insane as far as what that gun does. Let me see.
Well, in that one movie Under Siege, remember that with Steven Seagal? Uh-huh. They had a Phalanx lock onto one of the F-18s or F-16s that flew by.
There you go.
Why are you painting me? Why are you locking onto me?
Incoming.
Look at that.
That's the Phalanx. Somebody want to know about that. That's how they take out those missiles. That is an incredible machine. That is
you know how many rounds they had to fire to take down 101 missiles?
Oh, yes, 4,500 rounds a minute. I mean, it's got a whole feed system as far as it's on that belt fed. It's a really cool system.
Now, how does a belt refeed itself? Because you're going to run through so many.
They have a whole area where the ammunition is contained, and then they have another feeding system. It's a backup. Remember, it's a warship, so it's everything about it is weapon systems, efficiency. It's really cool.
You know, it's so funny. Some of the older aircraft carriers are still using the catapult launch with cables. And you know what they do with all those cables? I was told by one of the guys who's on one of those ships. When they get tired,
they dump them overboard.
Grease and all. Just dump them in the ocean. They don't want to repair them or cycle them.
General Dynamics was the manufacturer of this gun. They're the same ones. GE's the one who brings good things to life with the original M134 minigun.
Oh, by the way, Scott Pelley, he's unbelievably mad now because he got fired. Now, let me say something real quick about this. Now, I understand we have to have, you know, freedom as far as the press and what they're allowed to do and talk about. But when someone's paying your salary, you got to remember, you can't start talking bad about them. You can't. It's like that song I sung to you guys last week. You can't tug on Superman's cape. You know, do your thing. Keep your freedom of speech going. That's okay. But don't start telling people that your boss is not allowed to come to your studio and that they don't want you there. And, you know, it's the boss. There's a reason they call him the boss. He has hiring, firing over you. And so if Scott Pelley thinks he can be that arrogant and start doing and saying this kind of stuff, what did he think was going to happen? You start criticizing the boss? It's this. Go find another job. Have fun.
Who signed your paycheck? Don't talk about them. If you got somebody covering you on your, just keep.
So I got a kick out of that. By the way, swapping cigarettes for vaping has now been shown that it does not reduce the risk of lung cancer.
Duh.
And you know, and I cannot get over how many people are out there now promoting nicotine, Austin.
Oh, especially high doses, man. Mm-hmm. And I told you guys before, if you've got an issue, you're heavily smokers or heavy, you know, as far as this vaping thing, you know, and you're switching over to the nicotine pouches, they're definitely a healthier option for you than hitting vapes and smoking cigarettes. But overall, trying to say that nicotine is this massive health supplement now and it's got all these health benefits, no, there's no.
And there's one other thing I got to do this morning. I don't want to do it. I got covered.
Don't.
No, this is an
Monday.
Article.
Don't.
This is an article. We're having a lot of state reps, you know, who are pushing the Pride Month now. And now stop.
June. Why do they get a whole month?
I don't know.
Where's our heterosexual month?
July? I want an alpha
male
month.
Pride month.
Yeah,
I want a whole month. I don't even want a whole month. I don't care. It's my sexual preference. Why does everybody know about
it? Listen to this. Florida's first black Butch Dyke lesbian state rep demands sacrifice in the name of pride. And I'm like, Florida State Representative Michelle Rayner spoke at a pride event in the state, touting her accomplishment of being the first openly queer black woman to hold any public office in the state of Florida. She noted that her pronouns are she, they, and tried to last from the crowd.
What's her position, mayor?
No, she's like state representative.
State representative?
Rayner wrote her. I'm reading what it says in the article. It just lets you guys make your own decision on this. Rayner wore a shirt with her name on it, a face emblazoned on it. She said, "We are here for pride. Yes, we are here for this flag raising." And my response is this. I don't care what your sexual preference is.
No. Do your job. This is the biggest issue we've ever had in politics, where you have people based what they're getting voted on, what they're doing, what they're getting support for, based on their sexual preference. Get the best person elected for a government by the people. I could care less what you do in the privacy of your home. Really don't care. Don't want to hear about it. Don't care which way you go on it. Do your job the best as possible you can do. That's the position you're in. Not to promote your agenda about who you have sex with. I don't care.
Well, she's doing it because of the gay pride.
That's exactly right. But who cares?
Nobody cares.
Who cares?
Nobody cares.
State representative.
It's 2026. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares anymore. No, it's like, dude, do your job the best you can. It's like saying, we got the first homosexual pilot.
Who cares?
Why is that even added into the list of your quals?
No, man.
Well, how about you be the best pilot you can be and we don't wreck and die?
Mancow said it this way. He said this on the show up there in Chicago all the time. Probably why he's not working in Chicago anymore. He says, I don't care what your sexual preference is. And, you know, you want me to accept it? Okay, whatever. I don't care. He goes, but don't make me endorse it and say how great it is. It's not my responsibility.
For a position that's completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
You're state representative. There's nothing about the Constitution about making sure we have the strongest pride supporter of this position. Get out of here.
I don't even like covering pride. It's ridiculous.
No.
By the way, the limits of the U.S. military power are now fully exposed. This is a good article.
Yeah.
2.5 months into the U.S.-Israeli war against a nation that posed no threat to the United States, vital interests justified by a pyramid of lies. Go back to that Bible verse I read. Several things are abundantly clear. President Trump failed to define clear and viable political objectives to achieve our role as Israel's proxy in yet another war of choice. Viable here meaning objectives that are realistically attainable through the military means at the nation's disposal. In his classic work, Strategy, British theorist Liddell Hart emphasized that a political leader's foremost duty is to ensure that war aims are grounded in military reality.
That's exactly right.
And as he famously warned, political objectives must not demand what the military cannot do. Yet that is precisely what has happened. Without a clearly defined political objectives, it's impossible to conduct a U.S. Central Command, which is in charge of military operations in West Asia, and appears to be moving from one ineffective tactic to another ineffective target. The repeated bombing of military-related targets across the country the size of Western Europe, Iran's huge, with more than 90 million people, is not a strategy. It is a tactic untethered to any discernible operational or strategic end state.
It's got no strategic realism to it at all from a military standpoint.
This is exactly what happened with Germany when they went after Russia on a 1,500-mile front.
It was an idea. It was a fantasy that ruined them. The same thing we're doing with Iran. Any military operation has to be based and grounded in reality. You can have this theatrics that a lot of these politics like to have. We're going to do this, and it's going to be great. Okay, what's the base reality of the strategic operation? Can we achieve our objective? We can't, we're going to invade a country because, well, we can. What happens when it's not over in 2 days? What happens not over in 4 weeks? What is option A, B, C, D we fall back on? What's exfil plan? What happens when none of those work and we got to get out?
That's right.
You can't just stay in perpetuity.
Until you lose your
home.
You
can.
Yeah. This is exactly what happened with General Cornwallis.
Yeah.
You know, when he basically set the entire regiment in against the Patriots, which were the militia, and they came over a hill and they were massacred. And then he had to retreat. And then he's in Charlestown, and the French were shelling him. Finally, he had to surrender. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that happens when you don't have it planned out properly.
Or your planning is not based in reality. You've got this fantasy of what you're going to do, but there's no basis of reality in it. And that's the problem. Is remember all those military top brass generals? Remember a bunch of them got basically let go and resigned right when this happens? Like 15 of them, all of a sudden they're gone.
Yeah,
because what happens is when everybody told all my contractors, they all said, dude, listen, what was going on is that they were coming in with realistic expectations. This isn't viable. This isn't a good strategy. This is going to happen. And then what happens when it happens? Everybody steps out.
This war of choice has practically exhausted the U.S. military's inventory of offensive and defensive missiles. Inventories that cannot be replenished for years.
Are cooked.
You know, 9 U.S. military bases in the Gulf states have been destroyed or abandoned. Russia's. I'm going to post this article again so you guys can read it. So it'll be posted twice. But I want you to read the disastrous consequences that we've had. Now, I'm going to say something, too. Somebody sent me an email the other day, which I didn't even bother to answer. And they said that I slam Germany all the time.
But we are German. We're from Germany. I can say whatever I want about Germany.
Okay.
I can say whatever I want about anybody.
First of all, you know, black people say stuff all the time about black people, and it's okay. My mom was from Germany. And I have defended Germany for a lot of things that's happened, and I've also said that Germany's made a lot of mistakes now with cultural Marxism and a lot of things that are happening in Germany. So don't sit here and tell me that I'm anti-Angela Merkel and what she did. So don't send me an email saying, well, you did this, you did that. No, I'm telling you the truth. I've told you. How many times have I told you to read The Bad War by Mike King?
There you go.
That's free PDF. It's free. The Bad War by Mike King. How many times have I told you that Russia and Germany went into Poland in 1939 and split the country in half? England was in treaty with Poland. England declares war on Germany and not on Russia. How many times have I told you that? So I'm telling you the stuff we've been told about World War II, the vast majority is a lie, period. So don't sit here and tell me that I don't like Germany. It's ridiculous. Now, what I don't like is how liberal it's become. That I don't like at all. And I don't like the fact that basically they're controlled and they're still a vassal state of the United States government, which I could tell you about who really runs all that. But the reality is it's a giant mess. And so I'm pro-German. I think Germany made a lot of mistakes. I think Germany made a lot of things and did a lot of things right. I've talked so many times about how they got rid of the Federal Reserve Bank over there and they started giving debt-free currency out. All this stuff they did was good. So don't send me letters saying that I'm anti-German. Mein erstes Sprache ist Deutsch. Ich kann nur Deutsch sprechen. How can I be anti-German when I speak German? When you say when a black person criticizes another person, a black person, you don't say he's anti-black. No, he's not. He's just telling the truth about what he sees. So don't start on me on that stuff. I'm not going to respond to those emails.
I want to cover this. I'll get into more of this tomorrow. Another article he put up for me. It says a science-backed adaptogenic for stress, cortisol, mood, and restorative sleep, ashwagandha.
That's probably works.
Which we use in the cortisol
That's
buster.
Right.
And we have pure ashwagandha. A lot of people have been asking me about stuff as far as, you know, business, summer, kids out of school, stress, lack of sleep. This product with cortisol buster and ashwagandha in and of itself is probably one of my favorite products.
Anxiety. A lot of people don't realize they're on anxiety drugs. They take this and get rid of those anxiety drugs. But we're not telling you to stop taking prescription meds.
A lot
meds,
of anxiety.
Especially Xanax. Don't just stop
a
that.
A lot of anxiety issues are based on elevated cortisol
that's
that stays
exactly
sustained
right.
for too long. People don't realize that. If you get your blood cortisol levels checked and you're having issues with anxiety and this and so forth, majority of times you'll find cortisol spikes and it never comes back down. That can be a whole host related issues. That can be too much caffeine all day long. That can be lack of sleep. That can be raising 2-year-olds. That can be raising people, running companies, whatever it may be. You've got to maintain healthy cortisol levels. They will wear you out. That's why I actually started back on the cortisol buster. I've been off of it for months. I started back on it.
Because you're a 2-year-old.
And he's me. Yeah. He's me in a 2-year-old form. He is a handful.
The Kraken.
She just doesn't care. Anyways, I digress. So if you got any issues like that, look at the studies on this 60-day clinical trial showed it caused significant decrease in cortisol healthy levels and also decreased anxiety and emotional tension is what they claim on here. So be sure to check this product out if you're interested in it, the Cortisol Buster and the Ashwagandha for overall healthy mood, I should say. Great product on that. And guys, thank you again for showing up to the BroerShow.com, YouTube, Gab, Spotify, all the different products we have,
Apple
platforms on here, Apple, Rumble. We got it all.
iHeartRadio.
You want to watch it, here it is. You guys want updates on it, sign up for the weekly newsletter. First name, last name, email. And also, too, if you need any products, we're here to help you guys out with the highest quality supplements on earth. Magnesium Brain Food on sale product of the week. We're here. We're running strong. It's Monday.
And if we offended, we offended you today, thank you. I mean,
apologize to absolutely nobody.
Every once in a while, if I do something wrong. But the reality is, if I can't bring you stuff to make you think about both sides of the narrative,
exactly
like Scott
right.
Fitzgerald said, and analyze both sides of the narrative with equal ferocity, then you got to think about what the show's doing for you. If the show's not making you think and it's mindless fodder, just bubblegum for the brain, like, you know, that show, The View, it's just, what are you learn from that?
Here's the million-dollar question.
It's just be a nightmare.
It's a million-dollar question. I'm going to close with this. If a topic causes you to become extremely offended, analyze the reasoning why you're offended.
And do the research.
Is it something because you're diametrically opposed to? Is it something you don't agree with? Or is it something simply you don't understand, so it's easier to become offended by it than analyze why you're angry at it?
That's
something
exactly
to think about.
Oh, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus all the days of your life, for he is the author, he's the finisher, he's the perfecter of our faith, and we do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you for your support. Thank you for getting your supplements from us. And thank you for just sharing this with everybody. You say, hey, you really want to get mad? Listen to these guys. Or you really want to get glad? Listen to these guys.
Or get a lot of good info on it.
Or if you want some really good information on health, listen to these guys. We love you guys. Thanks for your support.
Have a good evening, my friends. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.